subject to the higher authorities. Are we ready?
Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Let every soul be subject to the higher authorities. Well, people are voting this... Anyway, next week is there something. I think Tuesday. So next Tuesday. So I thought I would talk about a political responsibility, because many times we think, well, I'm a Christian, so I don't need to be involved. God doesn't want me to be involved. Not true. You have a responsibility to pray for kings and all of those in authority, 1 Timothy chapter 2. You have a responsibility to the world to not just allow the wicked to run things. So to be involved, certainly as a light, as an example, as salt and light. You're most importantly, you have a responsibility, because if you want to witness to people and they're starving and they're, you know, being beaten and so on, you can't say, well, I don't care about that part. I only care for your spirit or your soul. We must care for the whole person, because God does. And even though someone may not be saved, it doesn't mean they should not be loved. Our love, agape, goes out to all men. So we are to love all men, but we don't have love to the world, phileo, brotherly love. You only have that to the believer. So brotherly love does not belong to the world. It can never go to the world, because the world, but we love the world with agape love, meaning unconditionally love them, whether they're Christian or not, no conditions at all. And for God so loved the world, that's agape. But we never love the world with phileo, brotherly love, because they're not brothers. And so the Muslim who said, we have the same God and all this, they can be talking about the fact that God created the world, same God. But they can't be talking about we're brothers, that we have the same Father, and so on, because we don't. So a false God is a problem. At any rate, political activity is not necessary, but in this country, everybody is involved or you lose it. If you're not self-governing as an individual, and then if you're not a voter or you're not actively involved, then you're letting the government down, and then what will happen is you'll get a tyranny. You'll get a tyranny. Because if you can't govern yourself, then you will be governed by the devil. You can't govern yourself under God, you will be governed by the devil. And there will not be a free church. The church will not be free. And right now it's losing its freedom, but not because of government taking over. It's more because Christians are naive and begging for help from this world. But I want to share, let every soul be subject to the higher powers. What does that mean? It doesn't say power. There's nowhere in the New Testament that it says powers. Now remember, Jesus said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Now, of course, he has power because he has authority. What if a criminal comes up to you? He has power. As for your money, he has no authority. But if a policeman comes up and says, you know, pull over, he has authority plus power. So all authority is more important than all power. If somebody has power, but they don't have any authority, then they really don't have either. They don't have either. They have power, but God might overrule them, because God is all-powerful. So, let every soul... Now, notice it doesn't say body, and notice it doesn't say spirit. Your spirit belongs to God. Everybody's spirit. Let every soul... So, let every soul... In the Greek language, pasasuke, let every soul be subject. So you are to be subject to the highest authority. And it's not talking about God, it's talking about political authorities. So Adolf Hitler used that and said, you know, I'm the highest political authority, so you have to obey me. Even God makes you do it. So here's God up at the top, and he is the ruler, he is the lawmaker, and he's the judge of all the earth. So everybody, whether they know it or not, are subject to the Creator. And so God reigns and rules over all, and he has his own way of setting the world up. Now, it says, let every. Now, every is pasa in the Greek. It means Christians and non-Christians. So let every Christian and non-Christian, let everybody, every soul. Now, a soul, pasa, suke, okay? So suke is, this means that your soul, your personality, your person, your mind, your will, your emotions, has to be subject to the highest political authority. So let every soul be subject, be submitted, be subject to the highest authority. So highest authorities, and it's in the plural, so it means there's more than one ruler up there. Let every soul, so Christian, non-Christian, everybody has to be subject to the political realm. So as a Christian, as an individual Christian, now notice this is not a church. It doesn't say let the church be subject. The church is not subject. And it's not your spirit. Your spirit's subject to God. It's not your body. Your body is not subject to the government. But your soul. So let every person be subject to the highest authorities. All right, so let's make a king here. King or president, doesn't matter. King, president, judge, doesn't matter what it is. Whoever your highest person is. So, what's that right there? A president. President. Some ruler. Some political personage who has military power and so on. Now, that political person has a sword, has some kind of weapon, has some kind of force or power, and I call it military. It can be a policeman with a gun, but it's some kind of military power. But he has to have authority, so before he is able to do that, that power has to be under some law. So here's a law that says you have to have authority before you have power. You have to have authority before you have power. And the way God sets it up is the king or the power is always under God. He always fears God. He's under God. So all the authority in the world is under God. There's no authority in the world. Adolf Hitler either is under God or he has no authority. Adolf Hitler is not a legitimate ruler unless he stays under God. So the moment that your president or any mayor or anyone in the world, for that matter, a husband, anyone, if they step outside the box that God gives them, they have no authority. So they have no legitimacy. So they can use their power, but they can only use it to do evil. And then it's an evil use of power. And Adolf Hitler is called a tyrant. You know, nobody calls him a good president of Germany or a good chancellor or a good anything. He wasn't a good anything because he had his own idea against God. He definitely went against God because he wanted to kill off all the Jewish people. That was one thing he did wrong. When he built the Autobahn, he was a good guy. Yeah, he built a nice Autobahn over there, and you can drive 150 miles an hour. I've been on that. And you can drive as fast as you want. And yeah, he did a good job there. You can get on that thing and zip. You know, go all the way from one end of Germany to another. So there's nothing wrong with that. He didn't do anything wrong there. So a bad king can also do good things. But as a ruler, he cannot make up laws without authority, cannot make up laws of his own against God. In our country right now, there are many laws that are against God. There are many laws in our country that are against God. Well, I'm not going to obey them. I just won't obey them. In Sweden, if you spank your child, it's against the law. Well, the Bible says, spare the rod and spoil the child. So I would break the law. And I believe in California they instituted that. I don't know if it's still in or not. But the faith-based initiative, all these kind of things are against the law. They're against God's law. God doesn't want the state over the church. He doesn't want the state helping the church. If the church is under the state, over the state, or with the state, it's evil. Can't be under, it can't be over, and it can't be coordinated with it. Now, if the state hates the church, there's no problem. Hating the church is preferable. But the best of all, if the church, if the state's really smart, because it'll be judged by God otherwise, leave it alone. Just let it be free. Don't touch it. And if you persecute me, I'll just ignore it. I don't care if you persecute me or not. I'll suffer. I don't mind suffering. I'm not afraid of suffering. So the church is not subject to the highest authorities, because a political authority has no power over God. And the church belongs to God. And nature belongs to God. So that means the government doesn't control nature. For example, if they try to control all the trees and all the water, which governments try to do, then they are taking over God's territory. That water doesn't belong to the state of Texas or any other state. A tree doesn't belong to, you know, the inhabitant. It has to be done under God. And the minute you defy God and take away God's right to rule, then you're going to be judged. So America is being judged right now, because America has gotten out of the box. We're coloring outside the line all of a sudden. Judges are making laws. Presidents are making laws. Lawmakers are, you know, being corrupted, and so on. So everybody's getting out of their box. And so we have lost all control. We have chaos ruling over us. But nevertheless, it isn't totally lost yet. You still have a chance to get in there and say something and do something. So being politically involved, whether just to vote or put a sign up in your yard or whatever, talk to your neighbors, those are all political activities. Running for office, which I'm going to do, running for office, those are political activity. So you can do all those things. I don't do it to accomplish anything. I do it so that no one else accomplishes bad things. I'm going to say that again. I don't ever get into office so I can accomplish something. I get in there so that no one else can accomplish bad things. I'm totally preventative. Yeah.
I was called for jury duty last year and was not now. When they started asking questions, there were two places, and they ended up calling me back in. I'm not going to go into a lot, but the question they asked me was, will he submit to the authority of the judge? And I said, not if he doesn't agree with the Christian.
Yeah. Good.
And they brought in some other people in there. I mean, it was a lot of people for it was over, and they were all asking me questions like I was an enemy of the state.
Right.
That is scary when they do this.
Well, the state's out of whack right now. It's been out of whack for a long time. But the state, when it ever plays God, then it becomes God. So then it no longer fears God, and it's no longer under God. But you don't have to worry about it, because we always win. You don't have to worry about it, because you're not going to lose. You're going to win it. But you have to realize where the problem lies. It's not them. They've gotten away with murder because we were too religious and watched too much TV. We just took care of ourselves for too long and let the devil, you know, get into business and politics. And politics is all controlled by businessmen anyway. It's just simply the payoff. Who pays the governor the most money? Who pays the lieutenant governor? Who pays, you know, the attorney general, the mayor, Pitt, whatever all the people are. And so the politicians are really not running the show. It's the businessmen that run the show behind the politicians, because they pay for their campaigns and they pay for the judges. And the judges also are bribed. And that's the one thing the Bible says not to do. So I can say it right out loud, because I know many examples. And judges will be bribed by $500,000 that's put into your campaign, or $50,000 that's put into your campaign. It depends on what it costs to run for justice of the peace or, you know, a judgeship, and each one has its price. And so in order to win, and all of the elections here are subject to bribery. Somebody, see, they have limits on what you can do, but there's other ways to get around those limits. There's all kinds of tricks. And so those tricks are to destroy your rights. Anytime a trick is played, it's at your expense, because you're not going to hear the truth, and the candidate is just simply going to be a demagogue of some sort who does not serve the people, which the law says, but will serve the business interest, or what they call special interest legislation. Why should legislation be for the business community? That's not the whole people. Why should it be for the church? That's not the whole people. Why should it be for the politicians? That's not the people. So only laws that are for all the people are any good. If they're for the black people only, they're bad laws. If they're for Hispanics only, they're bad laws. If they're for the white people only, they're bad laws. Any law that does not equally give justice and equality. So all these laws to fix up things are bad laws. You cannot fix up good things. You cannot, like a judge cannot figure out, well, I think the school system, I'll get in and change it. You can't change it. You can only go by the law. But they monkey with it. So today they get into everything. They know medicine. They know history. They know the church. They know all kinds of things, and they don't know anything. A judge is just a human being. How does he know anything about my business? I don't acknowledge any judge on earth that knows as much as I do. I know about my business because it's my business. It's mine. Now, you're an individual. Who knows more about you than you? So they can't tell you who you are. And we set up a government where we put a constitution over the people, over the government, that said, this is what government can't do. Now, today, government does what it wants to do. It just ignores the constitution. But that's not the way it was set up. So the Constitution was never set up to harm you. It was set up to limit and restrict government. You know why? We made it. A king didn't make that Constitution. We made it. We the people, and we made it for ourselves. Isn't that unusual that we'd make a government that was for ourselves? A government of the people, for the people, by the people. We made it up so that we would be the winner. Not that the criminal would go free, and the innocent person would be, the police would be on the innocent guy all the time. But that's exactly what happens today because we have a government that's anarchic, run amok. Every man doing what's right in his own eyes. So you see lots of things going on. But here's the Bible. And I want to show you why the Bible is so important. Let every soul, that's you and me, let every soul, whether you're a Christian or not, let every soul be subject to the higher powers. But now listen to how, if you just stop there and put a period, then Adolf Hitler could say, do what I say. Do what I say. A husband could say to his wife, do whatever I say. A pastor could say to his people, do whatever I say. God put me in this business, I'm in. Well, God didn't put any husband, pastor, or anyone else in charge. He put you in an office. An office is under God. And an office has to do what God tells that office to do because God makes up the offices. Now, a husband is not just a guy that wants to do whatever he wants. The husband actually has to go by the rules, and they're written down in the Bible. It's amazing. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. That's an interesting definition. In other words, husbands, you remember what Christ did for the church? He died for it. He lived so that the wife would be, the wife actually, the church, had sinned. But he died for her. He paid her debts. He took care of her. That's a pretty good deal. Well, I would submit to a husband like that who is totally serving me if I were a wife. Right? Any wife would. The problem is, where is that guy? Where is the guy that's doing his office? And the problem is that a wife can't make her husband do his office. But the pastor can. It's the pastor's job. And if there is no pastor, he's not a Christian or something, you'll have to go to the Justice of the Peace or somebody. That's tougher. They're not quite as smart and as wise. They don't have the same kind of power. But if that's where people are, then that's the best you're going to get. You don't think that you're going to get justice. You're not going to get justice because that's something that government really not very good at. All it can do is make a law, but it doesn't have any ability to get inside of a person, to make a person want to do it. All they can say is don't kill your wife. But they can't really say you got to love your wife. You see the difference? But in church, we can say, you got to love your wife. That's different. The state doesn't have that kind of power, doesn't have that kind of authority, doesn't have that kind of a law. All it can say is, don't beat the children, and don't, just steal all your wife's money and whatever. But it really can't say, be a good husband. The state can only do negatives, it can never do positives. All right, so now let every soul be subject to the higher powers, but watch how limited those higher powers are. In other words, you don't ever have to fear real government. You only have to fear the person that gets in the office and abuses it, but just throw him out. When a person is in the office of husband and he's not doing his job, you can't make him change. Has anybody ever tried that? You cannot make that husband change. You can ridicule him, You can withhold from him. You can yell and scream at him. You can cry. You can divorce him. You can do all kinds of things, but it won't change him. They're totally unchanged. And they don't mind. You know, even when they say it hurt, they don't mind. They just go off and keep going. Just do their own thing. So you can't control them. So that's why the Bible says, you know, take them to the pastor. But pastors don't always do their job. Pastors these days go along with divorces and remarriages and all kinds of crazy things. And, okay, so you don't have to pay the price for that because there's consequences to every action. But it'd be better if your husband's broken. Smash the smithereens. That's my job. I know how to do that. I am so good at doing that. I love doing that. So if you bring such a case to the church court, that's different than going to a secular court. Secular court can't help. Now, 99.999 of the churches don't do it either. They just do nothing. All they can say is, well, you look like you're hurt. You know, let's let you out of the cave. And so instead of growing up and realizing the wife is never at fault, it's always the husband. The wife is always at fault. Ah, sorry. Did I say it wrong? Did I say it backwards?
Amen.
I said that. Did I say it backwards?
Yeah.
The husband is always at fault. And he's not at fault because he's at fault. He may not be at fault, but he's responsible because he's the head. So I never put pressure on a wife, ever, 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 ever. And even if she's wrong, I won't count her wrong, I'll count him wrong. He failed. He wasn't mature. He didn't do his job. And I'll blow the wife out for not bringing him in earlier or marrying the guy in the first place. But the truth is that God has set it up so that you can have a perfect marriage. But you're not going to be able to make one. You can't do it. All you can do is your part, which is submit. And that's going to be real hard if you're not under God's system, because the world system can't help you very much. It's there for an extreme situation, but it really can't help you. And most of the important things in life, politics can't even touch. Politics is such a limited, small thing, even though today they're trying to get over everything. They're trying to get over the family and the church and, you know, the environment. And, you know, the government today thinks it can do anything. It can do medicine and it can figure out ethical things. And, you know, it's just such a silly government that's trying not to get under God. As soon as you get out from under God, you're just kind of on your own floating around out there. You imagine you can do anything. Nevertheless, God still says to me, Jim, I want you to submit to the higher authority. Now, I'm not submitting to the person that occupies the post. I'm submitting to the office that he's occupying, because the office is under God. So a president or a judge or a legislator or a mayor or whoever, they have a post or an office that they didn't invent. You cannot define, no man ever defined any of those offices. Those are defined by God himself. I'll give you some definition. First of all, you're not God. God is God. That's a definition that God made up. Imagine that God made up the idea that he was God and everybody else wasn't. That's one of the things, that when you're under God, you can't be God. So naturally, get rid of God and then you can be God. You can see what I'm saying? And you can live selfishly and, you know, do what's right in your own eyes. But unfortunately, that doesn't work too well. Sooner or later, you'll hit a dead, you know, you're just going to hit into a brick wall. Sooner or later, you'll hit into a brick wall because you ain't God. Pastors aren't God. You know, businessmen aren't God. Husbands aren't God. Wives aren't God. Children aren't God. The dog isn't God. Who's God? God. So God has set it up so that he's in charge of absolutely everything. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. He's the prophet, the priest, the king. He's the, you know, he's everything. He's our judge. He's our ruler. He's our everything. He's the lawgiver. He's everything. He gets his fingers in everything. You know why? Because he made it. It's his idea. And he's the only one that can make it work. If you try to make it work without God, it won't work. So God wants us to be involved in the political process, and I get involved. I don't care that everybody's corrupt. It doesn't bother me at all. There's no law that says, Jim, if you get into the political arena, you have to be corrupt along with everybody else that's corrupt. No, I don't have to be. I have fun being uncorrupted in a corrupt situation. I'm not at all angry or mad or disappointed or discouraged or blue or, you know, anything. I love it. I love being among corrupt people. There's lots of them. I used to be one. I'm not at all surprised at people being corrupted. I used to be so corrupt. I just marvel that they're keeping it up. You know, I could have kept it up, but I ran into a brick wall. Otherwise, I'd be corrupt as all get out too, but I ran into a brick wall. I found out there was a God. And I found out he wanted me to submit to him. So we had a little tug of war until he won. I hope you've all come through that same path, that at one time you tried to run your own life, your own show, your own thing, and you just figured out you ain't as smart as you thought you were, you're not as strong as you thought you were, and you're not God. So you sooner or later surrender. Okay, I give up. I'm not giving up because because he's powerful. I'm giving up because I didn't get what I wanted when I got what I wanted. I was trying to get happiness in life, and I wasn't getting it. I was getting what I wanted, but it wasn't getting me what I thought I was going to get. And he said, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Nah, I do it my own way. I don't want to go your way, I said. But I found out I couldn't get the rest, the peace, the joy, the happiness, the fulfillment. And he kept saying, Jim, it's just me. Come unto me. No, I don't want to. You just try to boss me. You'll take away all my fun. I don't trust you. He said, no, Kim, trust me. I'm on your side. No, I'd rather go with the devil. And Jim said, well, God said, look, the devil's not fun to go with. Well, he probably isn't, but I'm scared more of you. I'd rather go with the devil. Because the devil gives you a lot of freedom, a lot of playground. You can be licentious with the devil, and he doesn't ball you out. He'll let you get away with murder a lot of times. But God's real, he's a real stickler. He doesn't want you to, ever do wrong. He's right on your case all the time. Hey, whoa, what are you doing? Well, just smoking, chewing, just doing what I want to do. And God just won't let me. Well, I was just going to hit Peg. He just won't let me. No, I want you to bless her. How about I hit her? Can I say something sarcastic? No. I'm so good at it. Let me. No. I want you to bless her. Well, you see, God just puts you in a little bitty box. You can hardly move. You hardly can move at all. And he said, Jim, if I could get you where you didn't do anything but what I said, you'd be happy. No way. I'd be in a straitjacket. I hate your government. It's so small. It's like I can hardly move. I have to do everything you say, everything you think. I have to take every thought captive. I have to, all my emotions have to be happy all the time. You just got me so straight-boxed. I can hardly ever be mad and sad. That's what I want. I want to put you in a little box where you can't move so you won't do any harm to anybody. And so God's way is, I found I like God's way. It's everything I was looking for. It's right there. I'm not being a big shot and cool and great and glorious and glamorous and everything. I found out God right there, faithful. Been there all along. I blew him off, but he didn't blow me off, thank God. Anyway, God wants to put everybody, including kings, governors, mayors, everybody, under him. Every pastor under him. Every individual under him. Every family under him. Everything. He wants everything. He's just a hog. He just wants everything. Because he's God. Well, I accept that now. I totally want exactly what God wants from me. Because he's smart. Oh, he knows what he's talking about. I found more life. I lost my life and I found it. I tried to keep my life and I lost it. I tried to be first and I was last. Then I said I'd be last and I'm first. Don't make any sense, but I like it. I feel like if I come under every word of God, and if I live just by every word of God, just whatever he says, I'll find happiness, joy, and peace. Righteousness, joy, and peace in the Holy Ghost. Exactly what I found. Did y'all find that? Did you find that? When you do exactly what God says, get down to his narrow little box for you, it actually turns out to be freedom. Because when I go on my own, I turn out to be a slave of alcohol, of other people's opinion, of what the world wants me to be, what my kids want, what my I just find out when I'm free, I'm actually bound. But when I bind myself to God, I'm actually free. Because when he tells me what to do, no one else can tell me what to do, and that's freedom. Because the world out there will promise me the moon, but it'll give me a bitter stick in the end. It never delivers on its promises. But God, who says, Jim, if you trust me, put your trust in the Lord. Put your trust in me. Put all your trust in me. I'll take care of it. You don't even have to ask me. You can ask me, but you don't even have to. Even before you ask, I've already answered. But I want you in my little box. I'm not going to bless you when you're outside the box. I want you to get in my little box. So when you get in God's box and do what he says, you actually find everything. Because with Christ Jesus, he freely gives you all things. Isn't that amazing? I get into God's little bitty box, and I can hardly move, and in there I find everything because I found God. And then he gives me everything. But the way he does it is very different than the way I would have done it. I don't have a clue as to how he does it. It doesn't make any sense to me at all. Not the way I would have gone at all. But when I go his way, it makes sense. Stay in your marriage. Rejoice always. All right, if you get out, then stop. Don't keep moving. I'm going to improve myself this time. Okay. Let's wait and see. You know, it's not going to work. And after a while, you just realize, you know what? With all the great decisions I've made, they're not so great. You ever learned that? You just really don't know what you're doing. You know, and you just think, well, okay, I got myself in this trouble. I'll get myself out. I went for years like that, thinking I was brilliant, smart, clever. I mean, certainly better than the average person. Don't you think sometimes, you know, just think, you know, other people are, I don't know, they're not as clever as I am. And then when you end up in a hole every time, you wonder, how did I get here? I'm so clever. How did I get here? I have more going for me than most. I'm sure of it. But you don't. You're exactly like every other person. And that's a pathetic and a sad thing to realize. That is really sad, particularly if you've outdone your parents or, you know, and then you find out in the end you're exactly like them or even worse. Sad. Y'all discover that? It's part of growing up. It's part of maturing, just to realize you don't know what you're doing. You don't have any power. You don't have any wisdom. You don't have anything. And that one thing you didn't want, God, that's what you need. One thing you're going to throw away, and you know, it wasn't you were totally throwing away, it was just you push them off to the side. Well, who is this guy? Just cramping my style. Just hold back. You're a little bit too tight. You're uptight. Let me just go my way a little bit, and I'll be back. I'll be back. I'm not going away for good. And God just, he just wants everything. Totally wants everything. So I want to be involved politically, as economically, as spiritually, as a family, as individual. I want to be involved in all those things, but I got to get under God. So here's what God says. Let every soul be subject to the higher powers. Now listen to what else it says. For there is no power, but it doesn't say power, it says authority. There is no authority except from God. So Adolf Hitler, who said he had authority, only had power. This is wrong of the King James to use the word power here, because Adolf Hitler has power. And I know why they wrote it this way in the King James Version. Because King James, this is his book. And so he didn't write down the words that are true. He wrote down the words that agreed with him. When he called the church, he didn't call it the ecclesia, the called out ones. You know why? Because he was the head of the church in the state. So he didn't want his church to be called out from his state because it was him. So he didn't use the word ecclesia, used the word church. It's not in the Bible. There's no word church in the Bible. He just made that up. Are you hearing? Because he didn't want people to figure out that he was doing wrong. Here's another one. He didn't want people to see. He had power, yes, but did he have authority? No. King James was a homosexual. He was a pervert. And the guy had no authority in a lot of the stuff he did. He didn't want anyone to find out, so he just said power. Because he did have power. He had power, but so do criminals. We all have power. We all have the power to mouth. You ever use that power? You ever get in trouble and you just start talking? Because it'll get you out of trouble. If I just talk long enough and the other person, you know, listens, maybe I'll be okay. I mean, when I ask Peg sometimes for something, I'm not picking on her, but sometimes I ask her, she just starts talking. Hey. Did you do it or didn't you? That's not even yeah. It's a simple question. Yes, no, I did or I didn't. Peg, I just said, just say yes or no. Just so stubborn. Because she has power to talk. I always know you're guilty, you start talking. Could you just say yes or no? Did you buy that thing or not? I still can't figure it out, Peg. I'm listening to you and you're getting nowhere. Did you do it? That's all I want to know. How many know that you can't control your wife? She has power. But she has no authority. So I tell her, you know, honey, what you're doing, that's not Jesus. Will you say that that's not Jesus? I will if you will. Do you ever have any childish games like that? We do. We're childish. But in the end, the question then is not who has the power, but who has the authority. Who is legit? Who am I, a legitimate pastor, or did I just take over the power? Sometimes people come and say, Pastor, make me one of your whatever. You know, in other words, I want to be in power. I won't do it. If you notice, we haven't moved ahead very fast. It's because people, you know, people that are immature, I'm not going to put them into power. Because they're not mature. So, you know, I've had many people over the years, get rid of so-and-so, put me in. And they are, they're smarter and better and cleverer and so on and so forth, but they're just not the Holy Ghost. You know, the Holy Ghost didn't say to do it. Because they're not mature. They got something out of order. And I tell them what it is, but they're not too happy to hear that. Sometimes because you're not in control of your family. You're not in control of your own. If a man can't rule his own household, how will he rule in the house of God? So that's one thing we look for in leaders, is somebody who is controlling his own family. That would be a sure sign that you went through hell and made it. You can go through your... I'll tell you what, that is a real proof right there. You mean after these 30 years, you're not dead? You're not divorced? Oh, I can't believe it. You could be a leader. Because it's just hell. Anyone gets into a relationship, it's hell. Who's going to control this deal? Don't know what I'm talking about.
Amen.
Of course. Because, and there's nothing wrong with failing. It's just good to admit it. It's just, you know, not to the world. It's just to yourself. You know what? I am a failure.
Amen.
That is maturity. You know, I'm not saying get up in front of the church. I'm just saying to yourself. Just say, God, you know what? I say God my whole life. And I don't know what I'm doing. I'm not as clever as I thought. I've lost my children. I've lost my sanity. I've lost, you know, whatever. I don't know what I'm doing. I need to get a little smart. And God says, you know, submit to me. Submit to me. Just relax. I'll fix it. I'll fix it. See, God doesn't care that you sin. You can break every rule in the book. You can break it 50,000 times over and over. That does not bother God. He said not to do it, but it doesn't bother God when you do it. You know what bothers God? That you keep doing it. That's the thing, is you just won't admit what you're doing is wrong. As long as you admit what you're doing is wrong, as well, I know it's wrong. Oh, very good. Now he's getting somewhere. You know it's wrong, and you're still doing it? Mm-hmm. That's okay. He's not mad at that. At least you know it's wrong, right? Lesson number one, that's wrong. How many know that a lot of times we know what is wrong, and we still do it? You know, now a lot of people, they do what's wrong, but they say it's right. They try to justify themselves. Well, I don't think I did wrong. Well, that's very good. You are a liar. You're just a liar. But if somebody does wrong and they say, well, I know it's wrong, but I'm going to still do it. But at least you know it. And then if somebody does wrong and they repent and they ask the Holy Spirit to come in and help them, that's really possible. Repent, believe, obey. It's possible to do that. And if we had more people like that in the church, we'd probably have more people like that in the church. If we had more people like that in the church, we'd have more people like that in the church. Amen? It isn't whether you've done bad. God will forgive. Remember it says in the Bible, every sin will be forgiven you against the Father and the Son. Remember he said that? You can sin against the Father, nature. You can sin against the Son, you know, salvation. You can spit on him, yell at him, swear at him. You can do anything you want. It's forgiven. So you can sin against everything in nature and everything in culture and everything all over the map. But don't sin against the Holy Spirit, who says to you, let me convict you. Let me show you you're wrong. Let me show you that you were, you know, rebellious and wicked and so on. And then, let me forgive you. And then, let me fill you with my power, my presence. I'll help you. And if you submit to that, if you yield to the, if you don't grieve the Holy Spirit, you submit to that, that's it. That's maturity. Maturity is not sinning. Not sinning doesn't make you mature. Just stopping sin doesn't make you mature. It's being broken so that you submit to God. Say, God, I did do wrong. You can never come and say, God, I didn't do wrong. You can only come and say, I did do wrong. I wasn't joyful all the time. Is there anybody here who's convicted of that? You weren't joyful all the time? You have to admit that to God. God, you know what? I'm not always joyful. I'm a rebellious person. I'm not always happy. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. I don't always do that. So what he wants you to do is come and say, I don't always do that. It's a very humbling thing to say to him. You know, Lord, sometimes I murder people. Not always physically, but I do it in my own way. How many know there's a lot of ways to kill people? You can cut people off in a lot of ways. So God is just saying, all I want you to do is come and admit you did it all, then take my forgiveness, then take my Holy Spirit's help, and I'll do all the rest. You don't have to do any of it. You're not going to do it anyway. Let me do it. I'll be in you to will, I'll be in you to do. How many know he's in you to will and to do? How many know the Holy Spirit's in you to will and to do? That means you're never willing and you're never doing. You cannot, if you do it in your own strength, it's just legalism. And if you will it in your own will, you'll change your will. You know, if I will it, say, I'm going to get up in the morning and read my Bible. Then the next morning you get up and you're tired. You won't read your Bible? Because your will doesn't mean anything. Well, I'm willing. Yeah, you better have him in you to will. Not you willing. Your willing doesn't do anything. Well, I meant to do good. Well, I know it. Menting to do good doesn't do it. How many know the road to hell is paved with good intentions? Well, I was intending to do good. I remember one time I drove home and I was intending to love Peggy. I've been kind of selfish and mean and nasty and completely into myself for most of the marriage. And I just drove home thinking, you know, that's wrong. I'm going to go in and love her. And then I walked in the door. I've told this story before, but it's a good story to me. I walked in the door and she said something and it just threw me off. And that was it. All right, I'm not going to love her. And that was the end of that. So, you know, another time I did that in a movie theater with my mom. I was watching Ben-Hur. And, you know, I was thinking, it's the first time I ever thought this. My mom deserves to be loved. I think I'll love her. But the minute I got up and started walking up that slopey thing, going up the theater thing, I just lost it. Oh, there it was. Just about a second. So I was convicted for a second. How many know you willing doesn't do anything? It's only when God the Father gets into you. You have to admit that you're not much of a doer. You're more of a willer that the will doesn't work. Anything you will may not happen, unless it's evil. We generally, when we want to do something evil, we generally do that. But if you want to do something good, generally don't do it. All right, I'm going to get up and read my Bible every day at 6 o'clock. I mean it this time. All during 2006, I'm going to get up 6 o'clock, 6 to 7, and read my Bible. Well, that's good, but it's not going to happen. And even if you did do it, it'd be worse. Because then you'd do it and you'd feel proud. Then you'd be in pride. Or you wouldn't do it and you'd feel guilty. And, you know, totally depressed that you missed a day or something. You just can't do it. He's in you to will it to do. Well, then it's easy. If he's doing it, if he's willing it, it's easy. But that's something you don't have to work up. That's him getting in you to will. Do you hear what I'm saying? Now, if you'll think about it, there's actually areas of your life where you're actually letting the Holy Spirit will. You may have come today on your own, but you may have come by the Holy Spirit. It's better if it's by the Holy Spirit. Because it's easier. It's lighter. You're not taking yourself so seriously. I came by my own will. There's no pride in it or anything else. It's just, you know, the Holy Spirit told me to come. I didn't want to come, but I'm coming. It's better. God understands that. He knew you didn't will it. He will. Jim, whether you want to do it or not, yeah. Well, I understand that. Isn't that powerful? Jim, would you like to say something loving to your wife right now? No. All right, do it. You know, and he's not asking if I feel like doing it or want to do it or, you know, understand to do it. Just do it. Just go say you're sorry right now. I want to. Just doing it. But all of a sudden, when you do it, the Holy Spirit takes over. and you go, there's a good thing. They'll argue me a lot of times, and whenever she's wrong, she'll make a joke, like, I mean, she will hardly ever be, like, broken. She'll just start, like, if she's wrong, I can always tell, because she'll kind of, like, laugh at me or something like this, and I'm saying something serious, like, Peg, you know, you're doing wrong right there, and she'll start laughing. But, you know, that's just her little way of not admitting that she just did wrong. She just used that little humor and so on. But then, I start laughing. I'm trying to stay mad at her for being so unholy and unchristian, but I just can't do it. I start laughing. And then she's won. She'll beat me, you see. And I just hate that, because I want it to be superior for a minute. Mm-hmm. I want it to, you know, I'm holy for a second here. It's my only few times, so I'm using it, you know. But whenever she sees that I'm about to win, she will make a joke or something like that and get me to fall apart and laugh. I hate it. I'm trying hard not to laugh. She'll come out and look at me. Are you laughing? Get away. I'm trying to be holy right now. Are you guys as phony as I am? Yeah, of course. We're all the same. We're all made out of the same dust. Now, what God wants then is for us to submit to God in everything, because it's life. It really, 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 really leads to life. To be led by the Spirit is not a naughty, bad thing. It's really a wonderful thing. It's a very freeing thing. If you've ever been led by the Spirit, I know you all have. It's wonderful. It's something you'd like to repeat. To be led by the Spirit of God is actually a good thing. Amen? But he tells you, like, call your aunt right now or something. And you do it, and it's powerful, and they say, I'm so glad you called right now. Just crying out to God. You know, and you just realize, wow, that's kind of fun. That's exciting to be used of God like that. Now, your will didn't do it. Your emotions didn't do it. Your understanding didn't do it. You just did it because you felt it was the Holy Spirit. You did it in faith. Well, I don't feel like getting up today and going to church, but I think I will. God wants me to, so I'll do it. Maybe I'll get something out of it. Who knows? Pastors do it 2 out of 3 times. Maybe this is the one. So you have to learn to obey the Lord, right? And not run your own show. All of us need to be broken more. Broken more, broken more, broken more, broken more. That's what makes me a bad pastor, is because I say that all the time. But I think it's a good pastor. I think that's a good pastor. Because I need it. I'm not even talking to y'all. I don't even care what you do. I'm talking to myself. I'm such a rebellious, hypocritical, shallow, vain, wicked person that I need to remind myself all the time. It's just, if you're in the road, I'm going to say it to you too. But I'm really just talking to myself. I like all my messages. I enjoy what I say. To me, it's of God. I go home and listen to my own messages. Put them in the car. Peggy does too. That's good. All right. Let every soul be subject to the higher powers, for there's no power but of God. What does it say? It doesn't say power. It says authority. Exousias. If it was power, it'd be dunamis, like dynamite. It doesn't say dynamite. It says exousia. So exousia is under God. Here's the deal. Nobody has authority except you're under God. He has authority, so you only have authority if you got it from him. Does Adolf Hitler have authority? No. Does he have power? Yes. So he uses his power, but he doesn't have any authority. So am I bound to listen to somebody with power? No more than with a criminal. As long as he's got the gun to my head, I'll probably give him my wallet. But I may not. It all depends on what it is he's asking me to do. Kill Jewish people? No, I'd rather die myself. So I have to decide whether what he's asking is big deal or not. So, yes, you know, if you're going to fight City Hall, you're up against power. You're not up against authority. You're not up against right. They may be wrong, but you're not going to win. And you know it. They're just going to use all their power to crush you because they got more money, the judge is on their side, whatever. Well, you're not going to win then. Turn to God. God, you who have all authority and power, could you please, you know, get into this situation here? Because I'm in your box, and I don't have any hope but you. And I haven't walked outside my box today at all. Wouldn't this be a good day to vindicate me? And usually God says, well, before we proceed with them, let's make sure you don't have any log in your eye. Well, I don't. I'll tell you that right now. I don't. I'm pretty much innocent here. Well, just just for grins, let's check and make sure you don't have any sin in you at all. And you know, God will always show you some sin and it just slows your case down. God doesn't want you to trump on all those people. They've done wrong and, you know, I've been wronged by them and I'm a victim here. Well, I kind of doubt it. They may be victimizing you, but I may let them do that because you need to grow up. Yeah, but they're wrong. Yeah, but you're more wronger. You might be wronger than they are. So, let judgment begin in the household of God. God's not fixing up the world. I don't know if you've noticed that. He's not fixing the world up. He's just keeping it going. Now, don't worry. It can't go too far out of line. If it goes out of the line, he may or may not stop it, because it may be you he's after. And if you were in the line, he would go up to them quicker. But he doesn't have you to indicate that there's a very narrow line. We are not the light in this world we ought to be. We are not the salt in this world we ought to be. So he doesn't have a standard by which to say to the world, you see, you guys have gotten out of the line. And they say, your people have. Your people went out of the line. I don't think so. I don't think so. Pastor Jim, you get out of line? Well, just a little, real little. I was almost totally in the line. And then he looks at it and he goes all over the page. Is this your page right here? Yes, sir. You can see it's almost totally in the line. And the little kid wants that hung up on the fridge. It's going to take a lot of mercy to put that up on the refrigerator and say, this is one of mine. But for a little kid, they don't see those lines because they know their dad and mom love them. And you know, before God eternally, I'm okay. But in terms of this world, he's not going to judge the bad guy if he can't judge me. So, let judgment begin in the household of God. It's always going to be the church first. Let the bride be without spot or wrinkle. Are you fasting for those people? Are you praying for them? Are you a good citizen? Do you do everything right? Pretty much. You know, and it's just, you really didn't pray for the president. You really didn't pray for the legislature. You didn't really fast. You didn't really care. You didn't really not cheat on your income tax. And you know, we are just such wicked people, we don't want to admit it. But even worse than all that, you don't even love God with all your heart and soul and strength. So God is saying, let every soul, including Christians, submit. You're not submitting to some king. You're submitting to an office, which means you're submitting to God. When I obey the government and pay my individual taxes, I'm obeying God. Does the government take too much? Of course they do. That's normal. You know why they do? Because I'm not in my box. It's not that they've gotten out of their box. It's that I've gotten out of my box. Y'all understand that? The reason why the world, you know, God would stop every Girgashite, every Amalekite, every enemy of Israel if Israel only would have stayed under God. It isn't God, stop the Romans, stop the, you know, bad guys. It's, no, you're the problem. You're the light. Look at you. If the light in you be darkness, how great is the darkness? No, it's not me. I've done pretty good. Seriously. I don't think it's me this time. Last week, maybe, but this time I feel I've done pretty good. I'm getting it together. I've been to church 4 times. A record. Well, you see, God isn't into legalism. He really wants with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength, and that's just a little high price to pay. So no wonder we're having trouble, because we're not even doing what God said. So he won't protect you. The only reason for the king to be there, and there is a reason, is to stop the bad guys and to help the good guy. Well, you're the good guy, but are you? You see what I'm saying? So the way to get a bad government off my back, and you know, I'll write a whole bunch of things next week about eliminate the IRS, eliminate the UN, eliminate the, you know, Federal Reserve. I mean, I'll destroy all those organizations in my little precinct. But the truth is, God's not going to do it. You know why? Because he's after me. And I'm not going to put it in there, one about eliminate Jim. Yeah, I'm just not going to put that in there. But that's where God is Jim, are you serving me with all your heart and soul and strength? Are you loving your neighbor as yourself? Hey, have you seen my neighbor lately? You know, he's hard to love. No. So God is looking for a church without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. And he's going to have one. And we're going to be that church. We are going to be part of God's holy bride. Did you know that? Do you believe that? If he can save you, he can sanctify you. And if he can sanctify you, He can glorify himself through you. So it ain't over yet till the fat lady sings. She hasn't sung yet. It's not over yet. God is still perfecting his bride right now. That's why you're all here. But I'm telling you, one of your jobs is to pray for the world, to care for this world, to love this world. Don't just love yourself, your own. Don't just be, you know, Al-Qaeda. You have to love the Al-Qaeda people, not Al-Qaeda, but the people inside of it are worthy of salvation. If you got in, couldn't they get in? Well, they're Muslims. Well, I know. What's wrong with a Muslim? Well, the religion's wrong, but not the person. Jesus Christ died for that person. Well, I think one Jew is worth 10 Muslims. Well, that's not biblical. Jesus doesn't do it that way. He's not a respecter of persons. You understand? There's no difference between one man and another. He can be a witchcraft person. He can be Adolf Hitler. I don't care who he is. Jesus Christ died for that man. And that person is redeemable or you're not. If there's no hope for them, there's no hope for you. If Israel, which is wicked beyond measure, stubborn and stiff-necked, if Israel doesn't make it, neither will you. You're not going into heaven without them. And you know, you can tell me all the stories you want to, but it doesn't make any difference. It's not them, it's you. It's by your mercy. You got in by mercy, you better show them your mercy. Show mercy to them because he showed mercy to you. There are no favorites with God. God does not favor the Jewish people over everybody else. He only used the Jewish people to be the stewards and the trustees for everybody else because he loved everybody else. For God so loved the world, not for God so loved the Jewish people. For God so loved the world. Of course he loved the Jewish people. They're his people, but they are the most gone astray because they're under the covenant. And he said, you know, I'm not going to spank everybody else like I'm going to spank you. I'm not going to spank Adolf Hitler. I'm not going to spank Caesar. I'm spanking you. I raised up Caesar to spank you. I raised up Adolf Hitler to spank you. I'll raise up Al-Qaeda to spank you. Until you catch on. That it isn't their sins, it's yours. Because you and I have a covenant, and I'm going to treat you not like a bastard, but like a son. You see why God is after the Jewish people today, not even the church. He's after the church because the church is the key to the Jewish people. If we don't show them mercy, they're not going to repent. If you're just a hypocritical Christian, you have no mercy for them. You better be praying for them. You better be ready to go in the fire with them. Because that's where God is. God loves the Jewish people. Are they nice? Never. No way. Not possible. Jewish people aren't nice people. They're not nice people. They're like us. You ever notice that? If you knew yourself, you'd love them. Instead of knowing yourself. You think you're better? That's because you don't know yourself. Think you're better than your husband? You don't know yourself. You think you're better than somebody else? You don't know yourself. You're not better than anybody. You are exactly the equal of every man and every woman that's ever lived. That's amazing, isn't it? You just need to spend some more time with God talking about that. God, am I really as bad as, you know, the Girgashites? You know, the super wicked types? The shallow, or the ignorant, and the stupid, and the dumb, the blind, the lame? I mean, really, though. Really. I mean, in theory, but I mean, actually. I mean, not just in general, but specifically. Yeah. Yeah. Well, could I see the evidence for that? And you need to talk to God about that. Could I see what's against me in the book up there that you're reading? See, yeah, come on up. Look right here. Here's what you did last week. You know, he just got it all written out up there. And he could just go over all your sins. Now here, look, this day, 4,726 sins within the first hour. And then let's go to your next hour. You know, and God's got all that stuff. If you want to look at all the details, he's got it all mapped out. I didn't do that. That's a mistake, God. You say, well, that's the way I judge. Well, I'd like to say something on my behalf here. Well, you'll have plenty of time at the great, you know, great judgment seat. You're going to have, do you know you're going to have eternity? That's why it's so long. You're going to have eternity to explain yourself.
That's why we have a great high priest.
Yeah. Yeah, he'll like you. He'll help you out. Just say you're guilty and plead for mercy. Yeah, but I don't think he's got everything right. Well, I know, but just say you're guilty. Ask the guy for mercy. Throw yourself on the mercy of the court. Tell the judge you need the equity court to sit. He'll change his hat, you know, take off his hat, put another hat on, and instead of the Ten Commandments, he'll bring out the cross. How many would rather have the cross than the Ten Commandments? would. God, could you change that little symbol you've got up there? Because I'm looking pretty bad under that one. Because the Ten Commandments is kind of like a big mirror, you know, and just showing you this is what you look like. It doesn't look like Jesus. But let's go back to the cross. Yeah. And God will give you mercy. All he's asking you to do is look at the Ten Commandments so you'll confess. Did you do what I told you to do? No. Now throw yourself on the mercy of the court. How do you plead? Guilty. And God loves that. He hates it when you go, not guilty, sir. He'll ask you, based on what? Well, I helped this scout out. I was, my mom died, a baby cave. You know, and it doesn't matter what you say, it's not going to make it. How many know none of that stuff's going to make it? You don't have a leg to stand on. Because he's just really going to ask you, oh, stop, it's immaterial. Were you perfect? I'll just shorten all this. Were you perfect? Well, at any given moment, I might have been. No, I mean all the time. Well, I mean, are you saying all the time, meaning prior to birth even, during the conception time? Yes. You got me on that one, sir. You know, there's no way you're going to win with God. Because he says if you break one of the laws, you've broken all the laws. So you just have to break one law one day. But there's nobody in that category. I'll just let me tell you right now. You break the laws every day, all the time. And it ought to be kind of like a sign to you is that you're not Jesus. Because the standard is Jesus. He's what you were supposed to be. Are you like Jesus? Are you like Jesus all the time? In every way. Exactly. Because that's the whole point of your creation, and that's the whole point of your redemption, and that's the whole point of the Holy Spirit being poured out. That you can be exactly like Jesus. Not only look like him, not only want to be, but actually do. So that all the time. Well, we all have to say, guilty as charged. You know? Whatever's written in that big tome you got there, it's all true. I don't even need to look. I know I didn't do it. Because there's nothing to the law but Jesus. The law really is just say, be perfect, be exactly like Jesus. It just says, be Christ-like. In other words, be totally submitted to your Father. Remember what Jesus said? Father, I always do what's pleasing to you. Can you say that? Can you say that? I always do what's pleasing to you. I've never gone my own way. I've always done exactly what you want. It gives me great pleasure to do that. That's the law. That's the rule. So I want you to know is you need to get yourself humbler and more realistic to say, no, I didn't do that. I didn't think so. And then he'll give you an option. Would you like equity? Would you like mercy? Is there another plan? No, there's either law or equity. Let's see. Now, under law, I go straight to hell. And under equity, I have a chance to get into heaven by believing that he did it and not me. Well, let's go back to law. And let's see if I could argue on my... See if I could make a good argument. You know, you're just not going to make it. Yeah.
It doesn't have anything to do, if you move on down to verse 5, I don't understand verse 5. Would that have anything to do with the law of equity? It makes a difference between man and conscience. What
does
that mean?
Well... The whole world is subject to God's wrath because that's why he gives kings power and authority. You have the authority to use his wrath against the evildoer. He never will use his wrath against a child. If you're a citizen of his kingdom, no wrath. If you're a Roman citizen, no tax. Did you know that Roman citizens never paid taxes? Only the subject people. So the Roman citizen was free. But Jesus was asked, do we pay taxes? You bet. Peter, you go get a fish, pull out the coin from his mouth, and go and pay our taxes. So Jesus paid the tax because he was subject. So you're not a free citizen unless you belong to the city of Rome. So wrath only goes to the outside. But conscience says, now listen carefully, my conscience is clean because I admit I did wrong, but I'm going to put my faith in Jesus. Why? Because in equity court, there's only one question asked. Conscience. Not yours. If I trust in God's promise that he has a conscience, in other words, the reason he created the world was not to kill people off. The reason he created the world was to have a holy people that he could bless and keep forever. And anybody can get in. I remember he said that. I'm anybody. I remember he said, and I'm calling him to conscience. I'm not looking at the letter of the law now to kill it. Because the letter of the law says be perfect or die. But in equity court it says this. Only pay attention to the king's conscience. What was the conscience of the king of England? To bless the whole realm of England. To be such a good king that England would prosper and be at peace and everybody be blessed. If that's his conscience, then you can't kill me now, even though I did wrong and deserve to die, because your whole point is if you kill me, you won't be able to bless me. So did you want to bless me or kill me? And God's already decided, I want to bless you. Well, if that's the case, I'm going to go with equity. I want what you intended, not what I deserve. You hear the difference? In law court, you only ask what the letter of the law says. What does the letter of the law say? It says if you don't sign your name 1 inch from the bottom on the last page, you lose the house. So in law court, I lose the house. But I say, but God, I'm a widow. I'm blind. The guy told me to sign wherever I signed. And now I'm losing my house that's been in my family for 10 generations. It's not fair. I don't think that's why the law was written, to take away my house just because I signed in the wrong place because I was blind and the guy told me to sign over here. So the judge will say, you need to go to equity court because in law court, you lost the house. But in equity court, the judge will inquire carefully. Now let's see. What is the document here? Oh, this is a will and testament, or this is a trust, or whatever it is. You know, you're right, because if I read this according to my conscience, you do deserve to keep the house, and Simon Legree, you don't get the house.
She signed on the wrong line.
Yeah, that's in law court. This is equity. Please sit down. Here, it's the king's conscience that matters. Why was this document made? Who was the author of this document? What was his purpose in doing it? My great-great-grandfather said, you know, should come to all his children, children's children, and so on. Well, the conscience then is what's looked at, not the letter of the law. But the letter of the law, inside a trust document, turns out to have the spirit of the law, which says only the intent matters. So in equity court, the judge is always going to do justice by looking at intent, never by looking at letter. Even if the letter said she loses the house, that judge will interpret it the opposite and say, even though she loses the house in law, she gets the house back. Do you understand now? So God has the right in his conscience, in his own conscience, to say, you know what? I always intended for you to get eternal life. I always wanted you to walk in the Spirit of the Lord, but you would not. However, because of my conscience, I'll let you say you're sorry under the law, but then ask for my mercy under equity. Because that's what my intent. And I'll be pleasing to me. And I will say, innocent. And someone else will be standing and say, she's guilty. She signed on the wrong page. Yes, you're right, under law. But the law's been done away with through equity. So we're not reading this according to the law. We're reading according to the spirit of the law. We're not reading what the letters say. We're reading, have you ever noticed on a page, there are letters that are written in a certain color? What color are the letters? Can you see the letters on the page? What color are they? Black. Now, can you see there's something else on the page? What color is it? White. The white is the spirit. The black is the letter. So, the Jewish sages, when they read the Bible, they don't read it according to the letter, the black. They read it according to the spirit, the white. That's called black light, or black fire, and white light, or white fire. So, when you read it according to the spirit, it isn't just what the letters say, but it's what's written between letters. What was intended by writing this book? Was it that the Jewish people should be destroyed? Therefore, they will not. Was it that God created the world so he could destroy it? Therefore, it will not. His intent from the beginning of time was always to save a people for himself. A remnant. Not everybody, because not everybody wants to. But he said, whosoever will may come. If you want to, you can come. Anybody who wants to can come. But you'll have to come through equity. You can't come through law. In fact, no one will get through through the law. Only one made it through the law, and he's the one offering you the equity. The one that made it through is Jesus, and if you're in Jesus, you're not in the law, because it's been fulfilled. You're in Jesus. Therefore, you get the equity, and the proof of it is you get the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's the proof that you've been forgiven under the law. Did you hear what I just said? So, yes, you're right. Verse 5 tells you how God rules, and let me tell you something. This doesn't matter if you're Chinese, if you're an African in the bush and you're a tribe. I don't care who you are, law and equity is written into the universe. It's not a cultural thing. Like, we don't have it in America, or we only have it in America, or Germany didn't have it, but England had it. No. Law and equity, you'll find it in the Bible, by the way, all the way through. It'll say justice and judgment. Judgment means law. Justice, mishpatim. Justice means equity. And you will see throughout the Bible, it'll say law and equity, judgment and justice, over and over again, that a ruler, a judge, must always judge, not according to the law, strictly. Because whenever the strictness of the law helps you, it's okay. But whenever it goes against you, then you've got to read it again until you get it right. Now, right now, a lot of statutes are written against us, but I could read those same statutes for me. I can show any judge or lawyer how to read it so that I always win. Isn't that amazing? Now, Judge, I see what it says here, but I think there's another way to read this. Just for example, put my name in there. And put in there, bless Jim, my beloved. Just put that in there and see how it reads. And so I would be a great lawyer. I would be a great judge. Because I would know that even though I'm doing law, I always have the right to do equity. Because equity corrects the law whenever the letter of the law would not do justice. It doesn't replace the law. It isn't outside the law. It's actually in the letter. It's just, it's right there. Who's to say, you know, where this letter is and where this white is, you see? And so the Spirit is going all the way through. It's on every page. It's on every page. It's on every page of the law. So it's on that page. I can read the four corners of this document and tell you there's a Spirit here. I know you're not following me, but it's all right. I'm explaining something very powerful and very deep, and you should know it. You need to know it. Is that equity is the conscience or the heart of God. Whatever he intended originally, original intent. What did the founding fathers intend when they made this document? I don't care what the statute says. I don't even care what the Constitution says. It's got to agree with the Declaration of Independence. Because the spirit of the law is in the Declaration of Independence. It's not in the Constitution. The Constitution is merely basic laws that implement what was in the spirit of the Declaration. And the statutes are derivative under the Constitution, which are subject to the Declaration, which is subject to common law, which is subject to natural law, which is subject to revealed law, which is subject to God. Therefore, any law in the United States and any law in the state of Texas has to be read in the light of God. And if you read the Constitution, you'll see it'll say, this is the Constitution now, which is low down on the scale. It says, Almighty God. So everything that was ordained and instituted in our laws always must be under God. And if you read it any other way, you're wrong. Thanks be unto God, you can read it in the letter because the first article of the Texas Constitution, Article 1, is all about every man has a natural and indefeasible right to worship God according to the dictates of his conscience, etc., 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 etc. And any law that ever goes against any of these things that are written in these first 29 parts of the article, little chapters that are in the article, have never been changed. From the start when 1836, they've never been changed. When this became a state, they have never changed one of them. Isn't that interesting? And it says, if anybody ever reads this document, contrary to what's in this first article, every other article is subordinate to it. You cannot change it. Not only that, it says forever. Which means as long as this government lasts. You can never read it. You can't read Article 8 contrary to Article 1. You have to read Article 1 superior to Article 8, 9, 10, 11, doesn't matter how many articles in the rest of the Constitution, all constitutions are binding and prohibiting government. They're setting you free. Now, God's law, you know the Ten Commandments. It has four laws, doesn't matter if it's three or four, it has first few laws, are religious. Then it has six or seven others, depending on how you count, which are moral. So all your moral and all your religious laws are not political. Religious laws are not political. That means politics has nothing to do with them. Moral laws are not political. That means politics has nothing to do with them. That's why George Washington said, of all the dispositions, of all which make for political prosperity, only religion and morality, Ten Commandments. Ten Commandments can't be taken off the wall because they're in the foundation. You can take them off the wall, but they're in the foundation of all government. All just government, all free government is based upon our religious duties, which we owe to God first, and our moral duties, which we owe to our fellow man. All precedes government. It's all pre-existing. And no government can ever take jurisdiction over God, over religion and morals. Ever. And if it ever did make a law, it had to be in agreement with religion and in agreement with morals. Now, it's not talking about Lutheranism. It's not talking about specific religion. It's talking about the Ten Commandments. It's talking about God himself ruling over mankind. It's not talking about taking communion. It's not specific about, you know, the Lutherans are right or the Anglicans are right or the Mohammedans are right. It's not talking about that kind of religion. Those are cultural religions. Those are historical religions. Those are, you know, religions that men have come up with. Or even God's come up with. It doesn't make any difference. Government doesn't touch those. What government touches is that it can only do political things and it can, because it's under God. But it can never touch nature, which belongs to God. Nor your conscience, which belongs to God. Nor your morals, which belong to God. In other words, the government can't say, I know it's moral, but we don't allow it. No, they can't say that. If it's moral, it has to be allowed, and no law can stand against it, because nature stands over culture. So all positive law is subordinate to anything written in nature. That's why this government was formed, read the Declaration, to secure our natural, God-given, and inalienable rights. Now, nothing that the general powers of government does can ever overthrow or challenge or make nugatory anything that's written in nature or in God. Impossible. Our documents state it even openly. That is, even the letter states it in our government. In other governments, you cannot find it. In other governments, they're poorly written. It's there anyway. Ours just states the obvious. Ours states the truth. That's why our government has lasted the longest and why it's the best government on the face of the earth today. Even though it's all been corrupted. It's still, it's not over with. You and I are the problem. If we ever wake up this sleeping giant that's in this room, we'll be all right. You understand? There's great power in one Christian soul that begins to praise God, worship God, have faith in God, obedient to God. So we live in an exciting day and an exciting time. And God's about to come back and take over the world. When he does, he will judge Caesar. But he has never judged Caesar in this world. He just keeps him in line, but he never judges him. But when he comes back, he'll judge him. He left the politics alone. That's something you can do when you become religious and when you become moral and when you become mature in your faith. You'll take care of that. So you're the only hope for this government. The government can't help you. You have to help the government. But if you are not under God, the government won't either be. It's up to you to be under God. If we get under God, God will get the government under you. The government's master today because you're a slave of sin. But if you were a slave of God, the government would be a slave of you. Anytime you turn to God, the government will be weak. It'll lessen its. It'll get back in its box. The reason why today the government's all over the map is because you're all over the map. You have failed in your religion and in your morals. You have watched bad TV. You have polluted yourself. You have defied all of his laws. You have broken the first commandment, the second commandment, the third commandment, and so on. You broke all the commandments. None of those commandments are political. There's nothing political in the Ark of the Covenant. When King David brought the Ark back, he didn't bring anything else, just the Ark. It wasn't a political statement. He didn't do it as King David. He took all his robes off, he took all his stuff off, and he danced naked. As an individual. As a member. Even though a leader. As a member of a holy nation. He did it on that basis. Not because he was king. And his wife despised him. You see, it's not a political statement. It's an under-foundation statement, because religion is not upstairs. It's downstairs in the basement. God and government can never be separated. Church and state must always be separate. God and government can never be separated. Church and state must always be separate, because the God who's in the basement separates them and says, I want my church on my own, and so I'll include all religion in nature under me. That's my personal thing. I'll judge Buddhism. I'll judge Hinduism. I'll judge what's the true church and the false church. I'll judge Judaism. I'm the judge, direct. I'll judge every man's conscience individually, and I'll judge all of the churches, however they've done. State, get your hand off. And I will judge you later, not now. So when Jesus came, he didn't judge Caesar. He just denied him jurisdiction. He never judged Caesar, and Caesar agreed with Jesus. Find no crime in him. I take no jurisdiction over this. They bribed him, which you could do to any official. Every official is bribable. But a man like Pontius Pilate, who was a just man, he believed in Roman justice. He saw what was happening. If I don't take this bribe, they'll destroy me. Because these Jewish people are mean. These religious people are nasty people. They're going to throw a riot, make me look bad, the emperor will have me killed. So you know what he did? After Jesus, he went out and killed himself. Pontius Pilate could not stand the fact that he had done unjustly with Jesus.
Now, you mentioned it yourself just a few seconds ago. It's not all time. This is the age-old question. But if the state is not supposed to judge religion,
right,
why would God send them in to destroy Malachites and the...
Because a false religion produces immorality, which attacks morality, natural. And because it doesn't lead then to people under God. You know what's wrong with all those states? Whether it's the Moabite state or the Egyptian state? It was that though they spoke of gods, they were not fearing the living God. You remember Moses went into Egypt and he said, you know, God, the living God, is telling you to let us go so we can worship. You're not going to control worship. And Pharaoh said, fooey on you. Okay, frogs! You know, frogs came. All right, go. And then he changed his mind. No, I'll get over religion. I'm the king here. He said, no, you're not fearing God. And so he challenged him 10 times. And all the gods of Egypt during those 10 different tests were brought to the test. If they said in Egypt that he was the god of light, darkness covered him. If they said he was the God over this and that and so on. Whatever they thought their gods could do. And the last one of all was, you think that your son is the son of God. I'll kill your strength. I will kill your religion. I will cut off every god. Now, after the last one, the Pharaoh knew he was finished. But still, he was stubborn. Even when he saw that none of his gods worked. Even when he saw that the Nile, which was his first god, remember he turned the Nile into blood? That was the very first one. That hit them because they worshipped the Nile as a god. That was the life-giving god to all of Egypt. It brought, you know, floods each year and made all the crops grow. And everything was totally dependent in a desert culture on that water. That was the first thing he struck. All the fish died. Well, I mean, so Pharaoh was right there. He said, okay, go. No, wait a minute. And he said, okay, frogs. Okay, go. No, wait a minute. And then he just kept changing his mind. 10 times tested. 10 times, God prevailed to show that religion can never come under the state.
So was it because at that time they didn't have the freedom to worship, and so they were overstepping the bounds, and that's why God judged?
No.
Because now we have to allow the other religions to exist side by side.
No, that's a Christian idea.
Yeah.
Right. But Pharaoh's religion was, I just told you what it was, it didn't fear God. Egyptian Ma'at, justice.
Yeah.
Doesn't fear God. Moses told them who God was. Oh, the living God wants to have his people go out for 3 days and worship in the wilderness. Could you let them go? And he said, no. He said, fine. They're going to go anyway. I said, no, they won't. That's power to power. What kind of swords do you have? Nothing. Well, what kind of power do you have? Nothing. What do you have? God. And the Pharaoh thought, it's a piece of cake. I got this guy. He's... Till Moses began to speak in the name of the Lord, and he realized, well, this guy got a pretty powerful God. But he'd meet him. Each time he'd meet whatever Moses could put forward, until he finally was exhausted and said, okay, you win. So he never feared God. Pharaoh was learning to fear God. And God didn't do that to destroy Pharaoh. He did that to teach him. You better get under the fear of God here. And every nation in the world has learned that same lesson. It's not over with yet. That's why he used Israel. He used Israel to teach the fear of God. Now, in our state, that's a natural thing, so the government doesn't say whether Hindu is right or Buddhist is right or whatever. That's God. Only God knows what's right. Only God knows a man's conscience. So God protects the individual conscience in nature. So government can't touch nature. Conscience is in nature. I just told you that governments are formed to protect your natural, God-given, inalienable rights to life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness and all those things, property and all that. All of that property we did not put into culture. Though from a legal point of view, the word property is used as a civilization thing, because once you have settled, and so they took ownership over it. But the truth is, according to the Bible, property cannot be under. It's in nature itself. In nature itself, man has a right to property. Pulls a branch off a tree, he carves his initials on it, that's his. Don't need a government to tell me that that's mine. So private personal property is mine. What about land? And that's why when Israel was brought into the land, that was the last thing that she had to do, is get the land. But it still didn't determine her form of governance. So now that she had the Lord prior to civilization, now that she had the law when she was a people and not a nation, then when she had the land, now she's a nation. But she was a nation of tribal confederacies, like under our first form of government in this country, which was a confederacy, the Articles of Confederation. Not the more perfect union that we came up with under our Constitution. Then Israel got a king. But there's nothing that makes you a nation because you have a king. It's just they wanted to be like every other nation. That's why we don't have a king today. We read in the Bible. Our founders studied all of the kings and figured out every one of them is too easily corrupted. Then they studied all the aristocracies, too easily corrupted. Then they studied all the democracies, too easily corrupted. So they said the only hope then is if kings aren't in charge, but laws. So let's make a republic of laws and not a government of men. So they completely reversed it and didn't allow kings, because no king will protect the individual and no king will protect the minority. And democracies only protect the majority, but never the individual and the minority. So there'll be no security for any man's individual right to conscience if there's a king, or if there's an aristocracy, or if there's a democracy. Because in a democracy, like you have throughout the whole world, they'll just mow down anybody with an individual conscience. Well, the rest of the people in this town don't like it. Well, in a republic of laws, the individual is supreme. Because he's in nature. He's under God. And therefore, as long as he abides under the law, God's law, I just told you, there's no power, there's no authority except from God. Everything else is an abuse. So God is teaching the nations, and that's why you should be involved. That's why you should vote. That's why you should get involved. I know you don't know anything. You don't know half the people. You don't know 3/4 of the people. You might not know any of the people. So find out. Call Peggy. You know, find out who's running and what, you know, what they stand for and so on and so forth. Find people that know, that have studied, that you trust. But learn how to vote. Learn how to be involved. Because no one's going to keep it if you aren't self-governing. This government was not made for a polluted people. It was made for a moral and a religious people. Ten Commandments. That's why the Ten Commandments need to be back up. Not because they're Judeo-Christian. They need to be back up. Not because we're a Christian nation. They need to be back up because that's nature. And that's exactly the foundation of our government. It's nature. It doesn't belong to the Jews. It doesn't belong to the Christians. It belongs to all mankind. These Ten Commandments were not given to Israel. They were given to Israel to be an illustration to the whole world of what God requires. You know why there's a Sabbath in there? The Sabbath is not a Jewish idea. The Sabbath was because God created the world in 6 days. And so the Sabbath is something pagan. It's something that all men know. Because all men, not just Jewish people, all men know that God created the world in 6 days through their customs, their traditions. Because he did. It's just a religion. That's why George Washington said, those are the only two props, the only two pillars of human happiness and political felicity. There's no other way to have a nation except godly. You don't have a nation that's godly, you got what the rest of the world looks like. Now, our own nation now is falling just because of what I said. They're now challenging. And they're challenging it because they're wrong. They've become ignorant of their own background, But I tell you why. It's because of us. It's because of us. Pastors are silent. They're weaklings now. They've sold out. Pastors have betrayed God. Pastors. Every church is now 501c3 in bondage to the federal. Every church is now incorporated in bondage to the state. Every church now gets a local tax exemption in bondage to the local. Every church is in threefold bondage. Therefore, you are not free. No church can speak the truth. You say, well, the pastor's speaking the truth over there. Sooner or later, they will catch him on it and they'll call him on it. They'll say, hey, we want to be paid now for these three benefits we just gave you. You see, in the Bible, it says God will supply all my needs, not the federal or the state or the local. God will supply all my needs. It means all. All means all. So we never render unto Caesar. If you take a 501c, you render. If you take a corporation, you're rendering. If you take a local tax exemption, you're rendering. The church must not render. You may render individually, because part of you belongs to God, the other part of you belongs to the politics that God put over you. In other words, if you abide by the law never touches you. But if you don't abide by the law, because some of us are sinful and wicked at times, well, then the law will come and get you. That's what we want. Even we agree to that. I agree to that. If I break the law and you catch me, I should get it. I have pulled away from a few stop signs. They didn't catch me. As I just took matters in my own hand. I don't see anybody coming, so I'm going to go. And so, you know, but God saw. Jim, what are you doing? Getting out of the box a little. You know, have you ever done that? Well, that's what's wrong with us. We compromise all over the map. The reason I tell it myself is not because I want to tell it myself, so I can catch you. I'm telling myself so you'll laugh at me and go like that. And then God will speak to you. Say, well, have you ever done that? Not me. But you have. You've cheated too. Now, it's all right that you sin. Wickedness is forgivable. Stubbornness is not. That's the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. Because you will not take his mercy from equity. Did you hear what I just said?
Yes.
That's why he gave the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's the sign he went into the equity court. And you got now the Holy Spirit to help you. That was his intent. God intended for the foundation of the world not only to save you after he convicted you. He never expected you not to sin. He knew you were going to sin. If you have children, don't you know they're going to sin? Have you ever been naive to think they're little angels? Look at them, sweet. They're so cute in their crib. Look at the little sweetheart. It's because they're in the crib. But as soon as they get out of that crib, you know, they work their way until they can get out of that crib. They hate being strictured. That crib is awful. But they don't know that, no, that crib is a protection. That's a protection from your older brother who wants to, you know, poke your eye and whatnot. Because if those other little kids get in there, you don't know what they'll do. Poke stuff down in there and so on. You are replacing me. Little kids can be mean and nasty. You ever seen that? Sometimes they'll grab their cheek and then he'll, ow, the little baby starts crying. And the little kid will sometimes just slap it like that. And I mean, little kids can be mean. If you're not watching them, one minute they're just holding them, you little cutie, and just smack them, you know. An older kid, there's nothing wrong with that. That just came into their head and they did it. That's why we all must be under God. Otherwise, we'll do whatever comes into our head. Are you all blessed? What did you learn today? What did you learn? What you learned is, let every soul be subject to the higher authority, because all authority comes from God, and there is no authority except from God. And every authority that exists, now watch this, it exists, not like Adolf Hitler, but exists in the eyes of God, because it all comes from God. He doesn't have authority. His authority doesn't exist. He has power. He doesn't have authority. You can't translate it the wrong way. The devil made that translation. King James Version is wrong. So, am I for the King James? Yeah, I like the King James. Is it wrong? Yes. There's a lot of wrong things in it, but not as much as what's in the other one. And I know what they are, and I know where they are. So, I'm not worried about all the things that are in there. But, yes, of course, King James got that in there. Hey, don't write that down. Write down power. Don't write down church. Write down, you know, or ecclesia, write down church. Well, okay, I can show you where all those are, but it's not important. But that's why it's important for me to know the Greek and the Hebrew. Otherwise, I can't do that. If I'm just going to go by the English, I'll get all mixed up. That's why I'm instructing you, because you don't know Greek and Hebrew. Well, I'm instructing you not because it's so important to do it. It's just that, well, that's what it actually says. If these are the words of God, we better find out what they actually say. And so I like to read through the Bible verse by verse, comma by comma, letter by letter. Look at all of it. And I go over. You don't know how many hours a day I spend on this. 6, 8, 10, I don't know, 12 hours sometimes every day. In the Word, into the Greek and the Hebrew. No, people are not doing that. They're out, you know, building 10,000 member churches. We've only got a few members, but get good teaching. I'd rather go for the teaching. Because, you know, I don't really care if anybody likes it except me. You know, you're all paying my salary, so I get to do all this. I love it. I'm benefiting because I know this truth that's going to set you free. And sooner or later, those other pastors that have 50,000 members or whatever they got, they'll lose them. I'll get them. Why? Because truth is rare and truth is precious. That's what it says in the book. And I believe that. I believe today people are ignorant, without a vision. I just gave you a vision. The vision basically is the Word of God. Basically, the vision is not a vision. Basically, the vision is the Ten Commandments. The Torah. What God wrote down. That's the vision. So I study it night and day. That's what it says in the Bible, too, doesn't it? Doesn't it say? Meditate on this Word night and day. I do. I get paid to. I think it's wonderful. I got one of the best jobs in the whole world. Amen? It's powerful because I get to study with God and talk to Him and worship Him and so on. You have to go to work. I don't have to go to work. God's good. So, and vote. But you should vote. You should inform yourself and vote and be part of, because this world is dependent on you. There's a lot of people out there perishing. You know, so you're only thinking selfishly of yourself. Well, I just hope I get into heaven. Yeah, but what about other people? You're not here for yourself. Grow up. That's what I'm here to do it. I'm here to help you to grow up. I want you to be mature. I don't want you just to be halfway there. I want you to be mature in Christ. Don't think you know everything, or you're smart, or you're great, or you're good, or you're anything. You're nothing. You need to keep growing. Yes, you've been born again, but that's all. Now you've got to become a little child, and then you've got to become a mature father or mother until you're able to help others to be disciples and grow up into Christ. And one of the things we have to do is our political or civic responsibility. You know what civic means? Anybody know what civic means? Yeah, civil. But what does civic or civil mean? It's the same. It's the same. Civil, civic. What does it mean? City. Civic or civilis in Latin, that means city. So civilization is not just tribes, villages and towns. It actually means cities, settled, not nomadic. So as long as Israel was wandering through the desert, they weren't civic. They had no civil government. They had a nomadic, a loose confederation. They were a people. They were not a nation. God took them out of Egypt to make them into a nation, which would mean He would give them houses they didn't build, vineyards they never planted, olive trees they didn't plant, cisterns they didn't dig out, cities they didn't build. He gave them to them from the Amalekite, the Girgashite, and all the ites that were there. They did all the work. And He just gave them to His people and said, over here, guys, you're wandering so much. Here, settle down. Take all these things right here. What happened to their herds? What happened to all their herds? You see, a nomadic people needs those big herds. But now, when you're no longer a nomadic people, you need to settle down. So now they fenced in their little cow and their little sheep and so on and so forth. And they began to fence in their property, private property. It's the foundation of civic. Without private property, there's only tyranny. This is God's idea. That's why it's natural. It's not political. It only looks political because that's how you get nations, and that's when kings get in business. And kings try to take everything over so that everything comes through the king. But here's the way God does it. He separates the individual under Himself, no king. He separates the family under Himself, no king. He separates the church under Himself, no king. He separates everything under Himself, no king, except the political. And He leaves a little bit for the political. So the king can't get over the family, the individual, and the church. Every nation in the world, the king gets over everything. First nation in the world. Well, that didn't happen. We follow this nation. God's commonwealth. That's what we follow. Because there's liberty and justice in no other nation. That's why the rest of the world is corrupt to the hilt, dirty, filthy. It's terrible when you go anywhere in the world. You see poverty, you see political, domination over people, rape. You just see everything. Now how sad America has become civilized because we have lost our God. So it's time for you and I to stand up. It's time for you and I to be involved. I wish you could all vote for me. Because it's not important. I mean, politics is just one aspect. But you don't have to worry about it. God's okay. But it's good to be involved so that you're standing for righteousness, not only religiously, but also individually and family-wise. Otherwise, you lose everything. The state's taken over your children. It's taken over your families. It's taken over the school system. It's taken over the economics. It's taken over everything. And it'll end up in the pockets of a few aristocrats, of a few crooked criminal-type people who want to take away from the whole and take it all for themselves. So that you end up with nothing. You'll end up with nothing, believe me. You'll lose all your private property, all your insurance programs, everything you've paid into, you'll get none of it. It's already happened. I want you to know it's because of your own fault. It's not because the government's, doing it. It's because you're sleeping. So wake up. Yahoo! And don't take hard words as a rejection. It's rebuke. I'm rebuking you. You feel good and rebuked? I want you to be rebuked. You're overwhelmed? Or both?
The whole thing. I just feel like falling on my face. It's like...
Amen. That's good.
Are you serious when you're talking about running for office? Are you...
Not that kind of office. No, this is
okay.
Just not a simple kind of thing.
Okay.
Yeah. I just want to represent the city of Fort Worth.
So everyone needs to go...
Yeah, go to your precinct convention next week, Tuesday night, 7 o'clock, go to your precinct. That's your first line of vote, and you need then to get a hold of little things that you want put in, like down with the UN, down with the IRS, down with the Federal Reserve, on. There's a million of them. And get those all in your little precinct. They will be overwhelmed. Nobody ever goes and does anything. I always have 20 or 30 of them. I finish off the whole world. I'll make it a wonderful world when I'm done. We always win, because it's always our people that are there. But it goes nowhere, because as soon as it goes to the next level, it'll be defeated. But that's all right. I put it in every time, start it all over again. One of these days, I might win. Yeah. To the next level, right? You never know.
People don't realize what's happening here.
Yeah.
The most conservative county in all of Texas.
Right.
And whatever Tarrant County takes, Texas will take.
Yeah.
And then whatever Texas takes, the nation.
Right.
And I realized that going to the national convention, because the people that have sit next to the bus or railroad that were at the convention as well, when you mentioned Tarrant County, they don't know you mentioned Fort Worth.
Really? Right. We actually control the whole world right here. What a great place to be a pastor. What a great place to be a lawyer. What a great place to live. To be in heaven here. You can affect the whole world. They can't do it in India. They can't do it in China. They can't do it in Russia. They can't do it anywhere else. And they can't do it in Dakota. Here you have the best chance, right here. It's fun. It just takes a handful of people. Anyway, God is good. He's still in charge. We do win. His conscience says, I want the people to be free. I want to have churches. I want a bride without spot or wrinkle. Well, by golly, he's going to get it. Because God never loses. So, knowing that, I go to court and I say, God, what I want to see is a bride without spot or wrinkle. And that happens to agree with his own program. He goes, well, that's my idea too. And he likes me right away, you see. Because he loves it when you go to him with his own word. With his own concepts, his own policies. God, now here's an idea, God. No, he said, you got that from me. Yeah, I know. Because I wanted you to do it. And he loves it when you do that. Are you standing on my word? Yes, sir. I'm standing on your word. Now, I'm not standing on my good works. I'm standing on yours. Because your conscience says, if the child can't do it, let the parent do it. I'm holding you to it. I messed up, but you're my parent. If I don't make it, it'll be your fault. Isn't that great? If your kids don't make it, it's your fault. If my kids mess up, I feel it's not Peggy's fault, it's mine. Totally mine. Totally mine. Totally. So, and I would get on my knees before the child that didn't make it, and I would say to him, it's Dad's fault. It's completely my fault. It's not your fault. You know, whatever you're doing wrong right now, I blame me. I let you down. And you hated me correctly. You were correct. So I want you to forgive me. That's what I would say. You know why? God's. Now, I have no problem. If this church doesn't make it, it'd be all my fault. I've been a crummy pastor. I can tell we only have so few people here. I must be a crummy pastor. That's okay. I'll have to say so when I get to God. God, you know, they were tough to work with. Jim, okay, I was a crummy pastor, but I thought I did a pretty good job. Jim, okay, I didn't fast enough. I didn't pray enough. I didn't study enough. I complained too much. I was having too much fun. And God's not going to let, you know, he's not going to ball you out. He's going to ball me up. He's going to whip me and beat me and spank me, not you. You understand? So that's why I'm very careful as to who belongs to this church. Because I don't want to get whipped for y'all. God got that person down in my church. They attended a few times, but they weren't submitted. They weren't really mine. They just filled the pew. So I have to be very careful. But you know what? I'm proud of our people. I like our people. I'll put them up against anybody. Why? Because you've been well taught. And it'll sink in. Don't worry. Maybe it takes 20, 30 years to get it. It does. It takes a long time. I was a lunkhead. I was thick. I couldn't get it right away. Are any of you like me, slow, can barely get it, and you just think you got it, and the next day you lose it again, and start all over again? Yeah, we're all like that, so I can't be impatient with you. You've never seen me impatient with you, ever. Because God was never impatient with me. He's always friendly to me, always going by his conscience. Never going by his law. I'll never go by law. Can't go by law. I'll read that law until it comes out good. Isn't that good? I'm going to read it until it comes out good. Because the law is always good. The law is beautiful. It's perfect. It's precious. All right, let's close in prayer. Father God, we thank you for this day. I pray that we will become politically interested and active and not just passive. I pray that we will see that you care for all mankind and so should we. Now, if we're not ready, we're not ready. But I just pray that today we got ready. And that we all saw, I need to pray. I need to fast. I need to be involved. I need to do more than I'm doing. I need to rearrange my priorities. I need to set my life right. First spiritual, but then practical too. And so we give you all the praise in Jesus' holy name. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen and amen. God is good.
Amen.